Hi, I'm Dave Crane from Turbocharge Your Brand TV. How would you like to be able to guarantee that every time you talk to an audience, you have them eating out the palm of your hand, you have them going mad, giving you more applause than you could ever imagine, and you have them throwing cash at you and your business? Would you like to become a world-class speaker, but you don't really know how to start? Well, I can help. Contact me at dave@thelifedesigners.com. We'll get you over your nerves. We'll give you some great techniques for working in an audience and create that award-winning speech, that presentation that when you go out and you share it with the audience, they're guaranteed 100% to love everything you do and follow up with you afterwards to give you money and book you for more stuff. How cool would that be? Find out, contact me here, and together we'll turbocharge your brand too. Welcome back to Turbocharge Your Brand TV. On this week's episode, we're going to find out how your brain works and how you can create more with it in your business with Ilse Mulder from the Neuro Leadership Group. We're also going to be discovering 10 amazing life rules that you probably didn't know that will save you time, energy, and a whole load of cash. And on top of that, we're going to be doing a profile of one of the greatest directors of all time, James Cameron, the guy who sank the Titanic, took you off to a new planet to discover avatars, and also scared the bejeebus out of you with aliens. That and more coming up in this show. I bet you can't wait. It's Turbocharge Your Brand TV. An amazingly cool tip on Turbocharge Your Brand TV, and this is it. Why don't you try and contact yourself? That sounds stupid. What do you mean contact myself? I know where I am, Dave. No, not like that. How do your customers find you? Do they find you online? Do they find you in magazines and newspapers? Do they ask people how to find you? What do they search for? What keywords are related to you? Or do they find you by accident because somebody knew of you? Try contacting yourself and find out what it is that you're seen as in the market, and is that the same as what you actually do? If you had a past life where you worked for one company in a different industry, you found that even though we've got a new, wonderful, sexy thing that everyone should be talking about, nobody does because they just perceive you as that person instead. Today, try to contact yourself and then do a full 360. I'll talk about more in the 360 niche later on and what you've got to do with the system, but for right now, try contacting yourself and talk to your existing customers and find out what they did to contact you. I promise you, there are twice as many people who are missing the opportunity to connect with you and give you all their money because you're not visible enough, or you're missing an opportunity in the sales process and they have to spend that money and it's going to somebody else. Your competition is getting it instead of you. So today, contact yourself. Try and find out exactly how people can find you and then do the required things to make yourself more visible. That'll really improve your brand and turbocharge your brand TV. It's time for Ask Dave, and Elizabeth Kent contacted me saying, Dave, should I give up my full-time job and start my own business? When is the right time to do it? Well, Elizabeth, there's no real right time to do it. When you're ready, you are ready. But what you can do is start working out a few more things before you set off. First rule to know is that whenever you start anything in business, it will cost you twice as much and take you twice as long to get things to happen. So when you budget hoping it's going to happen all for you in 3 months, the odds are it will cost you twice as much and it will actually happen in 6 months. Now, not to put you off, because I really do think having your own business is a way forward in the future, the biggest amount of growth for anybody is when they're in their own business as a small to medium-sized business and then working on what they do best for customers who really want their stuff. That's where the profit truly is. But how do you do it? Well, you need to do some soul searching. You need to find out what your niche is, what your product is. Find out what you love to do and what you can deliver for people. More than anything, find out if there is an interest in what you do. If you want to get paid to fly kites because you're very good at it and you love it, but nobody wants it, then you're wasting your time. Get a mentor, get a business coach. Go out there and do some surveys on the market. The most important thing, and most people make the mistake of being very creative, making a wonderful, sexy, groovy product and finding nobody wants it, go the other way out. Find out what your customers are looking for and build something that works for them first. That guarantees you're going to have customers ready to buy your stuff rather than hoping that maybe it'll work and maybe it won't. So first thing to do is work out what it is that people are going to buy, find out if you're going to be able to deliver it, and then reverse engineer your business along with that. You might find that what you need to do is stay in your existing job for a little bit longer and work part-time in your product before you're ready to jump ship. Or you might find that you can stay in a job, do part-time with that, get paid so there's a roof over your head and make sure that all your bills get covered, and you do your other job alongside it. You might be able to work out going back to your existing job as a consultant so you can still have access to all the people and all the friends and all the information you had before, but this time bringing your own product in as well. Have a look at the different options on business models. It can change, and if you're not sure what to do, then first of all, draw up a business plan and share that business plan with somebody who really knows what they're talking about. It might be the bank manager, but more likely to be talking to a business coach. They will help you to set up that business, get all the legal documents in place, and then get your mindset right. Of course, keep watching this show, and I'll share more ideas with you on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. And now Turbocharge Your Brand TV, an opportunity to find out about how your brain works. So I'm joined by Ilza Mulder from a Neuro Leadership Group. I've known Ilza for many years, and I actually trained to be a life coach with her company, Results Coaching, many, many years ago. But now she's set up helping businesses to understand how their minds work, to be able to understand your decision-making process and capitalize on it by doing the very best things that you need to do and more of. It also allows you to understand what people are doing all around you. So if you're a manager, you can optimize your team and do stuff in a way that they will respond to better rather than hoping that it just sort of fits and finding out that certain things don't work. So how do you go about it and where do you start? Find out now with Ilza Mulder on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
Well, if we know how to manipulate our brain, and if we know the why behind the how, then we can change it to serve us. So it leads to leaders being more engaged, being able to get their teams to come up with insights, to make better decisions, to stay cool under pressure, and to have stronger collaboration, which are all elements that is often missing in the leadership realm. You may have somebody that's technically very skilled and good, but they don't have the know-how to change some of their behaviors. And knowing a little bit about the brain, that just empowers leaders to become more influential as well.
Do you think there's a slight resistance for people where they see it as soft skills, whereas being a leader is very much about hard skills? Mm. Do you think that there's a perception or misconception about that in the business market?
Yeah, I definitely think so. We certainly see that in many organizations that may be dysfunctional or have unhealthy culture to come in with these concepts. And one concept, for instance, is we encourage organizations to move away from driving to developing, and we just get leaders going like, what, you expect me to get people to think for themselves and come up with their own ideas? You know, I tell them what to do, that's how we roll. So it's very interesting to take challengers and turn them into champions. Not always possible though, but it is quite a shock to the system when we introduce some of the concepts for getting people to move towards you as a leader instead of away. And you know, I always use the carrot stick analogy. You know, most organizations or many leaders, they're really good managers and they use the stick, and they think that the carrot is in terms of monetary reward, which it's not. If you can have a team that's more engaged, that feels empowered, that actually wants to follow you, then you will see the results and you will have a much happier, healthier organization.
As promised on Turbocharge Your Brand TV, 10 life rules that you were never told at school. Things that if you use now, you'll save yourself time, energy, and also a lot of money. Most people don't know these things, or if they do know them, they'll learn the hard way. I'm going to save you all those things by sharing them with you now on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Number one, life's not fair. Get used to it. You might be born with a silver spoon in your mouth, you might be born with nothing. You might be good looking, you might be ugly, you might be good at sports, you might not be good at sports. You might have celebrity parents, or you might not know anybody whatsoever. This is what you get. But as long as you can breathe, you're alive and you can do something about it. Stop whinging about other people's lives and get on with yours. Number two, self-esteem is earned. It's not given to you. It's not a confidence thing that you can open in a box and go, wow, I feel amazing. The world will respect you when you start doing something that makes you worth respect. And that comes from within as well. So start feeling good about yourself, start doing something about it, and everybody will give you self-respect because you'll feel amazing as all the achievements come back. And it's a feedback loop. The more you do, the better it gets, the more your head feels good, and the more you do again. It all comes around to give you even more self-esteem. Number three, bosses are worse than teachers. It's true, you probably know by now, but when you went to school and you thought teachers were unfair, they were being paid to be there, they weren't paid to be your boss, but your boss is being paid to be in charge of you. They can have a good day or a bad day and take it out on you, and the difference is, if you decide that you don't want it anymore, you have to leave all that money behind. Sometimes that's not a bad move as well, but bosses are worse than teachers, remember that. The only boss that you don't get, that doesn't give you a hard time, is you. So maybe it's time to become self-employed or start your own business. Ah, become an investor too. Not a bad direction to get rid of all that problem about having a boss. Number four, blaming parents. Stop doing it. Grow up. You're a grown-up now. You can't blame your parents for everything that happened in your childhood. Well, you can do, but you know what? As an adult, you're just wasting your time and nobody wants to hear it anymore. Either make friends with your parents or don't, but reframe the way that you deal with it. Parents have a hard enough time as it is, trust me, as I'm finding out right now. Stop blaming your parents, start blaming you for everything that's happened from this stage onwards, which means that when you start taking control and start taking the blame, you can do something about it. Number five, as a sort of follow-up to that thing about parents that you just heard with number four, parents were cool. Now, I know they wear old trousers and listen to bad music and they don't dress like hip people, but you know why? Because they made a decision at a very early stage in your life, like before you were born, that they would put everything into making things happen to you, whether it's school fees, getting your presents, taking you on holiday, or just devoting every spare moment they had to making sure that you grew up to be as cool as you are. Yes, they were into saving the rainforest, they were into great music, they were into doing really stupid things, and they stopped. Not because they couldn't do it, but they made a real decision that they're going to give everything they had creatively to you. So respect your parents. They were once very cool, and maybe if you become a parent too, you'll get to see it as well. Number six, winners are winners because they win at stuff. Losers lose. Now, I know this sounds terrible and there's a way of looking at losing, taking part in the game and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, if you want to win, you've got to win. And that means every single aspect of your life, getting your head around what winning is. It might not be coming number one. It might be a thing that you push yourself further and further and you play a game against yourself, which, let's face it, that's what life really is anyway. So winners win. Remember that and stop complaining about being a loser. That's somebody else's problem. You're a winner the minute you start to think your mind about it. Number seven, make small talk your best friend. Those voices that go on in your head don't actually mean you're mad. That's your mind coming up with different ideas. Your subconscious mind suggesting stuff to you, often in the voice of a parent or a childhood friend, saying things like, should you do that? Should you do this? Sometimes it's negative, saying you're too fat, you're so stupid, you're too ugly. But ultimately, the self-talk is your mind giving you suggestions. Now, you can reframe it. You can ask questions of it. You can start making it your best friend, because guess what? It's going to be with you all the way through your life. So you might as well start liking it now. So reframe your self-talk and make it your best friend. Number eight, on a completely different tack, banks are bad. They are. I know that if you work for a bank, you're saying people shouldn't know that, but think about it. The only time a bank earns money is from you, on interest. If you put in loads of money in a bank and you're making lots of money, what do they get from that? Nothing. Okay, they can invest it and get a tiny little bit of interest on it themselves, but what they really want is for you to be in debt. They want you to take out credit cards, take out loans, and find it very difficult to pay every single month. So that means they can lump more charges on for late payments and so on. Banks are bad. There's other ways of making money and paying for your car, your house, and your life without taking out loans. That means starting out little bits all the way through, never having a debt, but only buying stuff when you're ready. Think about the compound interest of putting stuff away on a regular basis from a very early age. Think about as well that the amount of money that you put into getting a car throughout your entire life, getting a brand new car, paying off a debt for about 3 or 4 years, then buying a brand new car on top of that, selling that one, and moving on. Imagine instead of doing that, if you could count it up at the end of your lifetime, that would be somewhere in the region about £4 million or $4 million you'd injected over a lifetime of just constantly getting that new car. Instead, if you were to do up to the age of 65, where you saved up for the first 10, 11 months, and you bought a car, a really rickety old nasty one, for the $400 a month that you were going to be spending on your loan, then once you wait another 10 months, you can get that crappy old car and sell it with the new savings, get a slightly better car. Now, within a very short amount of time, you will have a very cool car and no loans, no debts. Interesting, isn't it? Then you can keep doing that, topping up, but only using your existing savings and not owing anything to anybody. Number 9, happiness is everything. It's all about being in the zone. You're happiest when you're tested, when you're stretched, and you have a really hard time being successful, but you make it through. Often we're really happy when we don't make it through because it just brought out the best in us and we learned some life lessons. So push yourself, find out what works for you. Athletes go into the zone, artists go into their creative patch, sports people do it all the time, and of course, if you're a musician, you know what it's like to get that vibe. Everybody has a certain happiness point. Find out what yours is, and then your life will become much easier. Even the bad days will be good because you'll be in your zone. And number 10, the life rule that they never told you is about permission. Don't ask for it. For our entire lives, we're told by everybody, don't do this, don't do that, you won't be allowed, we'll stop you. Forget it. Do whatever you want to do. Well, apart from killing people, you'll find out very quickly that that's not a good thing. But whatever you want to do, you can always ask for permission, or you can do it and apologize later. Do it and apologize later. More people are going to say no and stop you at the beginning, whereas if you do it and get away with it, that's where your success starts. Everybody has become a multimillionaire. Everybody has become a superstar in the films, in the movies, in sports. At some point, they stop doing what everybody else is doing. They're doing their thing, and they learn on their journey. So that's it. 10 life rules that you didn't know before, or if you did know, they're all packaged together for you to think about for the rest of the day. And now on Turbocharge Your Brand TV, I'm really excited about this. It's time to look at our case study of somebody who's a true life designer. This guy is one of the most influential people in the world, certainly in Hollywood. He's had some of the most exciting films and some of the biggest grossing films of all time. I'll give you a clue. Terminator, Terminator 2, Aliens, The Abyss, Avatar, Titanic, need I go on? We're talking about James Cameron. The guy has made so much money out of his films, and when you watch them, they've got a lot of similar themes. He likes you to be immersed, whether it's in water, or in deep space, or in some amazing story. But whatever happens, you've got to watch every single bit of it, because something new that you've never seen before is going to happen on that big screen in front of you. So what's it all about? How does he do it? And how did he start off on this amazing journey that we've all been a part of? Find out now when we look at James Cameron on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
He's well known for his temper on set and need to pioneer new cinematic technologies in order to bring his iconic visions to life. Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're taking a look at the career of director James Cameron. James Cameron was born in Ontario, Canada in 1954. He went on to study physics at California State University, Fullerton. Merely a year into his studies, he dropped out to marry a waitress and drive a truck. However, he underwent a life-altering moment of clarity when he saw Star Wars in 1977. As a result, Cameron left his job and wife to pursue a career in the hopes of creating his own sci-fi epics. Cameron got his start as the art director for Roger Corman's Battle Beyond the Stars.
I have come with my forces. If you resist, I will crush you.
The job had been given to him following a screening of his own 12-minute film, Xenogenesis, which showcased his ability to produce stunning visual effects. In 1981, Cameron worked his way up to the director's chair for the film Piranha 2, The Spawning. The shoot was a terrible experience for Cameron, as the film had an extremely low budget and a crew that only spoke Italian. Due to the stress he was under, Cameron experienced a nightmare about a robot assassin from the future. This inspired him to write the screenplay for 1984's The Terminator, which he brought to life with the help of friends from the marketing department at Corman's production studio. The film became an unprecedented success, which instantly revolutionized the action movie genre and propelled Arnold Schwarzenegger into Hollywood stardom.
Hasta la vista, baby.
His success caused 20th Century Fox to pursue him as the writer and director for 1986's Aliens, the high-profile sequel to Ridley Scott's groundbreaking sci-fi horror film Alien. Despite friction caused by a crew that constantly stopped to take breaks, Cameron managed to defy expectations and was rewarded at the box office for producing a strong narrative, characters, and unparalleled visual effects. He was again pursued to direct The Abyss in 1989. However, cost overruns due to his elaborate set pieces and three cancelled release dates caused the film to fail financially. The tense underwater shooting and severe shouting matches Cameron had with his actors, which resulted in their refusal to participate in promotional events, did not help the project either. In the wake of this setback, Cameron formed Lightstorm Entertainment so he could have full creative control of his projects without studio intervention. His first order of business was to create his impressive sequel to The Terminator. Terminator 2 Judgment Day instantly became Cameron's biggest success up to that point, while claiming numerous awards for industry-leading effects, all made possible by the technology that Cameron's crew had begun pioneering during the production process of The Abyss, such as the liquid metal effects that were central to the movie. Cameron then followed up with various projects that were uncharacteristic for the director, such as his spy film True Lies.
Harry!
Stop the gun!
And the futuristic film noir production, Strange Days, which he co-wrote and co-produced. These projects helped him bide his time until he could truly position himself as one of cinema's most iconic directors with 1997's Titanic. The film became one of the most visually stunning, expensive, and profitable pieces of celluloid ever produced. The demands he placed on his talent and crew were so high that he drove them to the brink of exhaustion during their two-year filming schedule. His budget also kept ballooning until it reached a record-breaking $200 million. As a result, Cameron decided to forgo his own paycheck in order to ensure that he maintained full creative control. In the wake of Titanic, Cameron took a 10-year absence from feature filmmaking. During that time, he served as the producer for both the television show Dark Angel and Steven Soderbergh's film Solaris. Cameron then ventured back to the themes of his previous films by directing the documentaries Ghost of the Abyss and Aliens of the Deep for IMAX. These projects allowed him to satisfy his fascination surrounding the mysteries hidden in the ocean's depths.
There she is, baby.
With a vocal audience that clearly wanted James Cameron to create yet another cinematic epic, he finally returned to feature filmmaking with his 2009 sci-fi masterpiece, Avatar, a movie that he had envisioned over a decade earlier but was unable to make due to limitations in technology.
So what can we synthesize out of all this? You know, what are the lessons learned? Well, I think number one is curiosity. It's the most powerful thing you own. Imagination is a force that can actually manifest a reality. And the respect of your team is more important than all the laurels in the world. I have young filmmakers come up to me and say, you know, give me some advice for doing this. And I say, don't put limitations on yourself. Other people will do that for you. Don't do it to yourself. Don't bet against yourself. And take risks. NASA has this phrase that they like, failure is not an option. But failure has to be an option in art and in exploration because it's a leap of faith. And no important endeavor that required innovation was done without risk. You have to be willing to take those risks. So that's the thought I would leave you with, is that in whatever you're doing, failure is an option, but fear is not. Thank you.
And that's it for this show. I hope you really enjoyed it. Coming next week, it's going to be even more exciting. We're going to find out how to sort out your mind as well as your business with a glory girl, Nadine Detroit. On top of that, we'll be finding out 10 things you need to do to boost your sales instantly, but you probably didn't have a clue how to start it. And we'll be profiling Kevin Smith, a real hero of mine. This guy was responsible for creating Jay and Silent Bob. Do you know them? If not, Google them. He created some of the funniest and quirkiest indie films on the market, from Dogma to Chasing Amy to Mallrats to Clarks. But on top of that, he's got a great business model and he stays true to himself all the way through. Check out his Smodcasts or his podcasts and you'll have a clue what I'm talking about before next week. And if you can't wait, well, you'll have to. All that and more on next week's episode on Turbocharge Your Brand TV.